Turn with me to the book of Acts, please, for a moment or two, and to verse 22 of chapter 26. The book of Acts at the chapter 26 and the verse 22. This actually happens to be the same text as I chose this morning, as most of you will know. I hasten to add that it's not the same sermon as I preached this morning, so it's one of those things. I thought when I prepared this message for today, just reminiscing over the past 20 years, that it would take no time at all in saying what I've got to say. In fact, I've discovered what some people mean when they say preachers preach for eternity, because it might just take that to finish off a sermon this afternoon. But I'm just so glad to be able to say this afternoon that I've got a happy text and words which I think are certainly fitting to all that I've got to tell you. Verse 22 says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." That was the testimony of the Apostle Paul, a man who was tried perhaps like no other servant of God in human history because of his stand for the gospel and for the Lord Jesus, whom he loved. And yet it's the testimony of really every Christian. It's the testimony of every Christian, young and old. It's the testimony of everyone that serves the Lord with fear and rejoices with trembling. "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." Let us remember, first of all, that we're in this world because God Almighty has put us in this world. The psalmist said, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." If we have life, and if that life is permitted to continue to this day, then it's because God has granted us the physical help and health and strength that we have needed. So from a mere general sense we can say, in a physical sense we can say, "Having therefore obtained help of God, we continue unto this day." And yet, of course, Christians are not just in this world to live. Christians are in this world to serve God. From the moment God saved the Christian, God set him about the very important business of witnessing for Jesus. The church's business is to communicate a message. Apart from anything else that the church does, apart from any other responsibilities that the church may have, apart from anything else that the individual Christian does or his responsibilities, this is our one chief goal and purpose and business in life. It is to bear witness of Christ. It is to communicate the message of the gospel. So many churches saying, "This is what we say, this is what we do." They're preaching the church, talking about the name. But Paul says, "I have obtained help of God to witness what the Bible says, to witness what the prophets say, just to repeat and to enunciate what God has given to us in his holy gospel." And so we are here today because God has put us here, because he's helped us, he's kept us here in this world, and Christians are in this world, and Christians are in this church to serve God by way of witnessing for him. We witness individually, and if ever we've ever overcome shyness in speaking to someone, if ever we've overcome fear about how the message from the pulpit might affect the listener, if ever we have done any of that, it's only because we've obtained help of God. We don't have life apart from God's grace. We don't have salvation apart from God's mercy. We don't and are not capable of doing anything that pleases him or fulfilling our calling in any shape or manner unless we receive help of the God that gave us that calling in the first place. And happy is the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the church that can say, "My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Where do you get your help from in life? What's your purpose in life? That's the question this afternoon. Now this morning we were really reminiscing over the past 20 years of gospel ministry, and I only really got started, and I'm going to try and pick up this afternoon where I laid off and I left off this morning. And if you have forgotten what I said this morning, or if you didn't hear what I said this morning, then just go to www.sermonaudio.com/Oldenbroad and you'll find it there in a day or two. Having obtained help of God, we continue. Our witness continues, first of all, because God Almighty has encouraged us. And you know something, as I look back, I can say that even before I stood in this pulpit, or as it was the pulpit in the old church, even before I actually got here, I was already encouraged. At my ordination service at the Martyrs Church in Belfast on 28th of August, one of my colleagues taking part in that meeting prayed amongst other things and asked the Lord that he would give the preacher acceptance with the people. And I think without any measure of exaggeration, I can say that my friend's prayer has been answered beyond what I could ask or even think. The practical kindnesses I was shown when I arrived, the practical kindnesses and prayerful support that I have known as long as I have been here in this place is proof positive that my friend's prayer was not in vain. And as I look back to the past and as I look to the present and as I count my blessings today as a minister of the church, I can say the kindnesses of God's people have been countless. God continues to answer the prayer that was offered 20 years ago. And today we have people that are dedicated to the cause of Christ, supporting the ministry of the gospel, who know and love the same Jesus that the preacher knows and loves. We know and love him because he first loved us. And it is out of labor and so many love that labor is rendered in so many different ways to forward the cause of truth and righteousness from this place. I'm thinking just now about different people, and I mentioned some of them by name, who supported me from the very beginning. Some of you will remember our friends Harold and Doreen Cockcroft, who along with several others opened their home to me and showed me great hospitality when I first came. And as many of you know, our brother and sister Harold and Doreen also did a lot of practical work about the church building. They took care of the church finances. That's something I couldn't have done because I'm useless with figures. And they had an active role in the ministry, our brother Harold not only being our organist, but the leader of the Blyford House services once a month that we've been having for so long. And we thank God for those, and I look back and thank God for the encouragement I had right at the beginning. But I say this, and I hasten to add this, that Harold and Doreen are not the only couple that I have had who have been so dedicated to the cause of Christ in this church, and so helpful and supportive of me as I sought to minister for Jesus in this place. Having obtained help of God, where did the help come? How did the help come? It came in personal form in so many different ways. So many different couples from year to year. I'll always remember what one couple said to me in leaving the church, and I was thanking them one day for the work that they were doing about the building. And they simply said this, "We gladly do it all for Jesus. We gladly do it all for Jesus." And it's my prayer that this congregation will always be blessed with people who have singular motive and whose eye is not to the glory of the church, but whose eye is always to the glory of King Jesus. I think today of others like Fred and Ina Mazes, David and Pauline Wilson, who also did me much good when I came. Our sister Isabel Alger, a number of prayer warriors like her, without whom we could not have survived as a church in those most difficult days at the beginning. I think tonight of our sister and brother Lois and David Watson, who served the Lord as missionaries in China. And they were like pillars to our church fellowship in those early days. I think perhaps Dr. Watson, above the others in those early days, perhaps more than others, understood the Presbyterian mindset, which is an unusual mindset at times, because he was a good old-time Scottish Presbyterian himself. And you know, the amazing thing is this, that even from the beginning, people like our brother and sister Lois and David Watson, even though they were well on in years, some of them well into their 80s, they did something for God. They didn't just occupy a pew, but the little energy that they had, and with the little time that they had, and with the opportunities that they had, they did what they could for God. I remember not long after this building was open and we had a weekly outreach, door-to-door visitation, Dr. Watson coming along and helping me in the doors. Some of those days were not particularly warm days when we were on the doors. There he was, an aged man, and quite often it was such a great help, because quite often when doors were opened, people recognized him right away as the doctor that provided them with help when he first moved to this area after the mission field and set up his medical practice. It was a tremendous icebreaker, and it was just another token to me of God's goodness that I had obtained help of God in this most personal and practical way. And I remember one day, of course, there was a rather funny occasion when we were knocking doors in Dell Road here at the back of the church, and there was another, we thought we were in for something by the look on this man's face. And he just looked at us as we tried to introduce him to the church and give him the literature. He just looked at us with complete disdain, and he said, I don't believe in organized religion. Now, I don't know what you would do in a situation like that. I would cower and probably run off. But David Watson was quite quick and quicker than me, and he said to the gentleman in response, he said, you don't believe in organized religion? No, said the man. He said, well, then would you prefer disorganized religion? It was a good answer for him, wasn't it? That's the kind of help that you need when you're doing God's work. And I thank God for it. Think of others like Mary Bird and George Triffitt. Many individuals who, despite their years, never gave up praying and labouring for the Lord in what little way that they could. And tonight, when using the words of Hebrews 11, time would fail me to tell of all those who were there at the beginning and who from the beginning and who since then made their intentions clear to stick by the ministry of the gospel in our congregation. And so I can say to you today with the words of Paul, in my mouth, upon my lips, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue this day, and that help has undoubtedly been tremendous. Words could not describe all the help, the mountain of help and support that I have had over the years. And I think it's only just right today that we remember that and publicly put on record our thanks to God Almighty for all that He has done. Now the interesting thing is this, that when you go out to serve God, God will never be behind in meeting your need. God will never be, He's never slow, His timing is never off, He's never behind, He's always in advance. And if there's a young Christian and you're looking for the Lord's will for your life, let me tell you this, as you seek the Lord's will for your life, He has already a plan worked out. He's not going to start working it out just because you've prayed, He's already worked it out. And when you seek to go out and serve Him and do the will of God, and wherever He calls you to do the will of God, wherever it entails, I can tell you this, His plan's ready made for that. So you can trust Him. And the help that I needed was in place before I came. And you know something? When all these dear folks that we've just mentioned passed on into God's great eternity and went to the glory above, when the men were buried, yet God carried on His work. And where the hands fell cold in death, and where the help was gone, others came to help. That's an amazing thing. Having obtained help of God, I continued the first year, then the second year with the support of others, with God sending others our way. You know, you'll never be without help when you set out to do the will of God. You'll never be without help. God will provide help in personal form. God will send people your way to guide you, to help you, to support you, to give you counsel, to give you encouragement, to point out the way in which you should go, to say we'll be with you, to put their arm of love around you, to give you advice and the such like. You'll never be without help when you go out to serve God. And when friends die, others will come and take their place to help you. It happens, you know. It said of those great Bible preachers, it's actually written in one of their graves, the Wesleys, God buries His workmen, God carries on His work. And you know something? If I should die, it will not mean the end of this work. If I should part this life and say goodbye to everybody, if it was to happen tonight or some other day, the work of God in this church will still go on. It will still go on. The preacher, while he may feel a measure of responsibility, thank God the preacher's presence in a church is not indispensable to the future. It's not indispensable to the future of this congregation. It's not. But if the preacher was to go, then this word would still be true for the congregation. You would still obtain help of God. God always has His workmen in place to support His work. Now today, there's only one person present in this congregation from the original group. I'm not going to say who that is, but you know her very well. Isn't that right, Pat? One of the original group. Other of my friends have since passed away. However, God has replaced them. And this afternoon, if you had told me 20 years ago that I would have a congregation like this, I would probably have said, go away and feel your head. To use a good Ulsterism, go and feel it. But it has happened. And I just can't mention everybody by name, but I just want to say to everybody that's here, and particularly to my own folk today, I just want to say to you, each one of you are important. Each one of you have been a help. I thank God today for all of you. For all of you, without exception today. For all that you do in this place. For all the different ways in which you build the Lord's work. And pray for the preacher of the gospel. I wouldn't be here today unless I had obtained the help which you yourselves have provided for me. I wouldn't be here to tell the tale. I wouldn't have survived 6 weeks, never mind 20 years. I wouldn't continue this year had it not been for all of you. For the people that work and labour, for the people that pray, for the people that give, and so on and so forth. Words cannot fully describe how valuable people are, having therefore obtained help of God. You know, help of God in a personal way is a divine gift. People are gifts. They're not just figures on a page. They're not just parishioners. They're God's gift to the ministry. And I thank God for all of you today. Having obtained help of God, there's also the encouragement of an expanded witness. And you know, I think from the very beginning, from very early on since my coming here, that the God signals his intention that the work was not only going to be maintained, but that God Almighty was going to grow that work. And you know, we weren't here that long until we had these extra services in Blyford House. And I'll tell you how they came about. Some of you will remember an old friend of ours called William Wilson, not to be confused with the younger William Wilson, who's sometimes around. Old William Wilson, we'll call him. And after William died, his wife Eva went into care at Blyford House. It was only open then about a year. And one day, humanly speaking, by chance, as I went up to see Eva, William's wife, in the nursing home, a lady who was one of the managers, team managers in Blyford House, approached me and she said, you know, I used to attend London Road Baptist Church some years ago, and we're trying here to organise some services on Sundays for the residents. Would you be willing to come along and take a meeting? That was on, I think, June of 1991, and those meetings have been going on since June 1992, and those meetings have been going on for almost 20 years. Almost 20 years. Think of all the people, all the residents, all the staff over those years that have been covered by the preaching of the gospel or reached by the preaching of the gospel. And you cannot but say, the Lord is among us. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. The way that the meetings came about, the details of how they commenced, the fact that they are now into their 20th year, along with additional meetings at the Day Centre in the same place, I cannot but say to you that in this we see God's hand at work, and we cannot doubt the happy future that can be ours as a church as we rest upon Him and as we commit all our efforts, our whole efforts, to Jesus Christ. Who knows how many different people, how many different staff, how many different residents will meet Christians from this church at the last day at the seat of Christ and speak of their conversion through the witness given at those services. Brethren and sisters in Christ, God hasn't opened this door or any other door in this church or from this church. He hasn't kept it open for so long, only to mock, only for all the words that are spoken and sung, preached and given in testimony, for it all to come crashing to the earth and mean nothing. I believe at the last day we will meet people from Blyford House in heaven because of the door that God opened. And God signaled His intention to expand the ministry not long after I arrived. And I have to say, when I look at that, well, it's another illustration of the point. Having obtained help of God, we continue. Now, we're not where we were 20 years ago. Today, we have a younger congregation. We have a growing ministry to boys and girls. And you know me, and I know you well enough to know that sometimes, well, we know each other, don't we? Sometimes we need to be gingered up. I need to be gingered up. Don't ask me to go into the background of that expression. It's not very happy, but I think you get what I'm driving at. You know, when I first came, there were no children at this church, or at least hardly any children. The handful I had at 1991 disappeared after a few months. They all moved away. And then one day, you will know our friends, a couple of Jane and Terry, came along to the church, brought their two little boys, Joshua and Daniel. And one day, after the Sunday morning service, my wife was speaking with Jane, and Jane was asking about the possibility of having a children's meeting sometime during the week. They put the question to me, and I thought to myself, well, dear me, do you think I've enough on the plate? This will take a couple of weeks to prepare. And then Jana said something to me. She said, wouldn't you be better to start right away when there's an interest? And so we did start right away. That little word was just the gingering up I needed. And you know, from that day, God has had his hand upon that work, that part of the work also. We had Joshua, Daniel, two boys, my own daughters, Joseph and Antonella, others came later. And contacts were made, and now in the last 6-7 years especially, under the leadership of our brother Matthew, our beginning, though it was small in this area of the Lord's work, it has greatly increased. And others have come and helped in the Lord's work. It's not just the ministry on Friday. It's a practical help that friends give that forwards the work. Our beginning was small, but thank God it has greatly increased. Why? Is it just because we worked hard? Is it just because there were people that were willing? Was it just because of human effort? No, I put it to you, it's because we obtained help from God. That's why. And we've got to always remember that anything we ever do for God is because he helps us to do it. Let's never forget that. Let's never become self-sufficient and forget that. And you know, so long as we're not weary in well-doing, so long as we obtain help from God, we can do anything he calls us to do. And you know what the Bible says? God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. Thank God there's no shortage of grace with Jesus. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And then we think of the encouragement and the help God gave us in expanding the ministry during the week. And that is, in recent years, has included, of course, the coffee morning. Coffee morning was not my idea, even though I like coffee and drink it like a fish. I don't know if fish drink coffee, but you know what I'm driving at. I may never have thought of a coffee morning. In fact, it was the furthest thing from my mind. Not that I was against it. But one day, as you know, our sister Julie approached me and said, what do you think about this idea? Perhaps it may be useful to bring people in to the church. And so we thought about it. We determined from the beginning that we would have a little witness in that Thursday morning event as well. And you know who were there from the beginning, how we started. There was five of us for the first couple of months. There's 4 or 5 of us for the first 4 or 5 months, and then it started to happen. Word spread. And you know what it's like today, don't you? And we have people in this church today who sit in the Lord's house on Sunday morning, at least 4 people, if not 5 people, who have come as a direct result of that work. My friend, it just proves that it's help that's been obtained from God Almighty. He touched our sister's heart. That's how the work started. Now look how God has blessed the efforts made on Thursday mornings. We have people here in God's house. We have people come on Thursdays who never come on Sundays, but they still hear the same gospel. Oh, we don't let any of the fish get away, you know. We bait the hook and we try to draw them in. God has helped this church in so many ways, and he has helped me in so many ways. Helped me and through all the changing scenes of life, through all our difficulties, through all our discouragements, through disappointments, through good report, through ill report, the Lord leads us on together. And I'm not here today because there's something special about me, but because God Almighty has sustained me. If I had relied on myself, if we had relied on our own efforts, on our own strength, the work would have collapsed years ago. But what can we say today? We can say in the words of the psalmist, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And you see, if a church obtains help of God, and if a man obtains help for God from God, there is absolutely nothing that can stop that church. Absolutely nothing that can stop that man. Paul would have given up at the first hurdle, but with everything that was thrown against him, he was still preaching the gospel. I put it to you again that if we obtain help from God, there's absolutely nothing, absolutely no one that can stop us. Such is the strength of God's help. I look at Paul's testimony in here. Look what Paul had been through. Sometimes we give up. Well, we're almost ready to give up. And I have to be honest too with you. Like anybody, like any normal person, there are times when we all feel like giving up on things. And there have been times, at least in the past, when I've been so pressed by one thing or another, I felt like giving up. But when I look at Paul and all he's been through, well, what a difference. Look at what he suffered. His life was always on the line. Always on the line. He says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I am more. Labours more abundant. Stripes above measure. Prisons more frequent." This is what I suffered, said Paul. "I received 40 stripes, save one, and more than on 5 occasions. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. In journeyings often, perils of water, perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren." He goes on to say, I suffered weariness and painfulness, watchings often, hunger and thirst, fastings, cold nakedness. And beside those things which are without, says the apostle, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now look, if the grace of God is strong enough to sustain a man under that kind of burden, then the grace of God is strong enough to sustain us. It really is. Here's the point, of course. While the power of God is available, we have to appropriate it. Let me just repeat that. While the power of God is available for the Christian has got to appropriate it. What does he say here? He just doesn't say that the help came. He says, having therefore obtained help of God. We don't obtain it in the sense of earning it, but we can obtain it from the person that bought it for us by his blood upon Calvary. Having obtained help of God, we must appropriate God's help every day that we live. Every effort that we make in the house of God for Jesus, we must appropriate his help. If we do not appropriate God's help every day, we will continue no day. Moreover, we can only know divine help through our mediator Jesus Christ, because it's in God's only begotten Son that he makes over all the promises of his support. His promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And do we ever need help to speak for Jesus? Yes. Where do we get that help? We get it from Christ himself. We obtain it from him. And that wonderful promise can be made over to ours, to us tonight. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with power. However, help is often obtained of God through the prayers of others. I can tell you that. I couldn't have survived without the prayers of people here. And I need the prayers of every Christian all over this church still. I can't survive without them. Nobody can survive. Do you realize that if you're saved, you're not saved just because you called on the Lord's name. You're saved because somebody prayed for you before you actually did. If people hadn't prayed for you, you might never have been saved at all. And if people haven't prayed for you, you might not even continue in your Christian life to this day. We need each other. Who can say that they don't need the help, the support of another Christian's prayers? Can the eye say to the hand, I have no need of thee? Is there some part of the body of the Christ that is cut off and completely independent? Certainly not. We need the support of one another, support on every side. And I've had that. I've been a very fortunate individual. No, I've been a very blessed individual. I think that's a better way to put it, isn't it? That's a better way to put it. And each day of each week, there are people in this church that uphold me. I know it. That's how I get through the week and enjoy God's work. And there are people in other churches that are doing the same. And there are people outside our denomination that are doing the same for us as a church and for me as a preacher. When I was ordained 20 years ago, I received some greetings and assurances from friends outside the Free Presbyterian Church. Here's one letter which I received from Brian Green, who's member was here last week preaching for us. He wrote these words to me in my ordination. He said, I can do no better than commend to you the words of Paul to young Timothy. War a good warfare, holding faith in the good conscience. He adds this, you can be assured of the continual prayers of my wife Pat and myself. Regard me as a friend and brother. If I can be of help, I am your servant for Christ's sake. The Lord be with you and bless you mightily. Dr. Bob Jones, who was the Chancellor then of Bob Jones University, wrote these words to me. He said, we are praying for a real outpouring of the Lord's Spirit upon you, an anointment for a rich and fruitful ministry with constant growth, many souls, strong conflicts, and great victories. My prayers and blessings are with you. God bless you. Rod Bell, who was the president of the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship in America, wrote this. He said, I offer you my congratulations upon your ordination and installation to the Oldham Broad Church. Remember, Kyle, you're an ambassador for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have been put in trust with the gospel, so speak not as pleasing men, but God who tries the heart. And remember that upward, downward, inward and outward, the glory of the cross travels and gleams. Nothing on earth or eternity wields such manifold power. God bless you, Kyle. And remember the promise of the Bible, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. So you see, I have a lot of praying friends. I'm not rich, and I don't want to be rich in the temporal sense. I have no ambition for that. But I'm rich in friends, rich in Christian friends, like the people here today, rich in other men that pray for me. And I know this much, that those prayers have seen me through. What does the Bible say in James 5:16? It says this. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Could I say, as I draw this message to a finish briefly, that, you know, sometimes we obtain help from God by the moments, the lighter moments of life, if we could call them that. It was a wise man, Solomon, who wrote these words in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. He said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. He said again, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And of course, our great joy as Christians is to know the knowledge of sins forgiven through Jesus Christ. It is to experience a radical transformation of the new birth, that change in our life, lock, stock and barrel, and the assurance of life eternal. The knowledge that God will not cast off us, his people whom he foreknew. The knowledge that God, who called us by his grace and sanctified us by his spirit, will bring us at last to heaven. That's the thing which is the heart, the ground of our joy. But you know something? That joy, when it enters into the Christian, transforms the way the Christian looks at everything, really. And we can rejoice that we're right with God, but as a result of that, all the joys of life are sweeter. Even the lighter moments of life, we see as Christians, are granted by the love of a Heavenly Father to lighten our load, to encourage us, to rejuvenate our spirits when we're low, and to help us just to keep things into perspective. Isn't that what the Word promises, Christians? It says, I give you the oil of joy for mourning. What did Jesus say to his discouraged disciples? He said, blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And I've had one or two laughs over the last 20 years, I can tell you, in the later moments of the work here. Can I tell you one or two? William Wilson, that I referred to earlier, some of you will remember that he could be quite a demanding man. I'll just leave it at that. And of course, I suppose he thought that because I was a young man and inexperienced, that he could have his way with me and get me to do things which an older and more experienced minister wouldn't do. He also had a thing about female nurses. He didn't like the female nurse coming to see to him. So he demanded of me one day that I should come and wash him down at the sink. Well, that was just one of the it wasn't funny at the time, but it's funny when I look back on it. I'll not tell you what Fred Maisie's responding. He said, you should have been glad that it wasn't Eva that asked you to wash her down the sink. I remember seeing William Wilson at one of the hospital visits that I had to him up at James Paget. I went along with my dad and with David McElveen, who's the senior minister. He was I've never seen a man having so much trouble getting on his pajama top in hospital. And then he said, ma'am, can you come and help me? So they tried to help him, and the more they tried to help him, the more he got himself in a knot. He said, you're useless. What about the young fellow behind you, pointing to me? So I tried to help him, and he got more frustrated with me, and he started to say, this is the way you do it. No, you did this way. And then he looked at my father and David McElveen, and he said, well, he's young. He's got to learn. Well, one day I was standing outside the church here, the site of the church, when it was all the work had been dug for the foundations, done for the foundations, and the place was a complete mess because it had been raining heavy. And there's a little man came pottering along the street, and he started to talk to me, and he looked up and he used some words which you shouldn't use about the state of affairs in the church building site. And then he said, and all this mess is that man Paisley's fault. He's a terrible man, you know, Ian Paisley. Look at all the trouble that he's caused in Northern Ireland. And then he said to me, and you know, he said, the funny thing is, I just heard that a son is going to be the minister here. I said, you're looking at him. I tell you, I was happy as a good Ulster man to see him go all colours of the Union Jack. It was worthwhile waiting for. Then we were out one day with our sister Doring delivering leaflets for the church opening. I have a dentist who happens to be Irish. He's a great dentist, one of the best pools I've ever had. And Doring directed me to him. He's her dentist. He was her dentist too. And as you know, Doring's grandchildren used to live in Beckles Road and used to cycle sometimes up and down Dell Road, which is quite adjacent to Beckles Road. And one day, the little grandson stopped on his bicycle. He saw me talking to Doring. He heard the accent. He went home to his mother and he said, "Nah, what was Nan doing out with the dentist today?" And if you think that's bad, my father advised me one day. He said, "Look, instead of going out in your collar and tie, people think you're a salesman at the door. Why don't you go out in your clerics? At least they'll recognise you, you're from a church." So I took his advice and went out. It was a long Waveney drive there. And one of the first homes I came to, I said, "Good morning," to the gentleman who's working outside the house. He said, "Good morning." He turned round, he looked at me, he saw the clerical collar, he heard the Irish accent, and he said, "Are you Father Ted?" Oh dear. One more. I had a funeral one day here. I think it was the funeral of our brother George Trivett. And somebody looked at I usually at these events, if it's a wedding or a funeral, you will know that my traditional dress is a black, long black frock coat with a clerical collar. And there's a gentleman who knew I did that anyway, but he thought he would take a hand out of me, be a bit smart aleck. And he looked me up and down and he said, "When I saw you, I thought I was in the Roman Catholic Church." What do you say to a man like that? I simply couldn't resist. I just said, "Ah, God bless you, my son." And that was it. That was one of the lighter moments of the work. But God does give us lighter moments, doesn't he? And he cheers us up. And he helps us not to be burdened down. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I feel a real pity for Christians who suspect themselves, if they ever laugh, of lacking spirituality. It's not an unspiritual thing to laugh at the lighter moments of life. In fact, I would put it to you, it's an unspiritual thing not to laugh at the lighter moments of life. There's nothing normal or spiritual about not laughing. Christians can laugh. "Rejoice," says the Bible, "and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Now look, I'm going to finish this message by saying that if a Christian minister and Christian people continue faithful, God has to get all the glory for it. Think of God's great power. It's all of him that we are where we are today. But then, sinner, and there are meeting people in this meeting who are sinners still. They're outside the pale of God's grace. And you know exactly who you are when I say that. And let me tell you, if God's power is something that can't be resisted, why do you continue? Why do you continue to harden yourself against God and the call of the Spirit to your soul? For the Bible says, "Who hath hardened himself against God and prospered?" Are you going to continue to harden yourself to such a degree that the Spirit of God cuts you off? Are you going to do that? Are you going to be a wise person and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner"? May God make you wise unto salvation and help you to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. God bless you all, and God bless us in the days to come, for Christ's sake. Amen.